You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast.
Again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and man, I love saying that every I'm getting more used to it, you know what I'm saying? Before, I used to kind of like stutter between what I'm going to say in the beginning, but people have said it's becoming kind of like what do you call
natural.
That
like my natural. It's like your tagline.
Exactly. So I'm joined once again by the co-host. I'm just gonna start using the co-host now.
I like that. We have
V Fig and Nati, or Nati and V Fig.
We're here on a consistent level. So
yeah.
So, I mean, they are part of it. They are part of the team.
Yeah.
Right.
We have freaking cartoons.
We're
with them.
We were just talking about like what is gonna be our tagline. So just saying, hey guys, this is V Fig. So now we gotta figure out like. We got to figure out what's our, not bueno mi gente, but like, yeah, what's up, people? This is V Fig.
So if you have any suggestions, let us know, mi gente. But it's been an awesome week. Last week, we had a really great episode with Immigration 101. We have quite some big feedback behind it.
Yeah, a lot of feedback.
And that just, it brings joy to my heart because it means that people are listening, first of all.
And they care.
They care about that topic. Resonates a lot to our listeners.
Oh,
so now
sure.
we know.
Especially
you know, it's kinda,
now.
It's kind of like one of those things where you want to do a little survey, you know, and now that we know exactly what touches their heart and what gives them a little bit of fire, then we know immigration is one of those topics. But
definitely.
So we appreciate all of the feedback, positive and negative. It helps us grow and become a better podcast. So thank you guys.
Yeah, it only helps us grow. And I like the fact that I could figure out what our next topic's gonna be, you know. So we're definitely working on getting a couple of immigration lawyers in the podcast, some people that are actually really, really well versed on the topic,
right?
And then they'll give us their truth behind it as well. So before we continue with the show though, I want to get out some advertising, some stuff that we have going on, so that people don't skip through the show and then they won't ever hear what we're selling, right? So, mi gente, we're actually still selling the snapback. It's available on our La Verdad LTD website. So, www.laverdadltd.com. We have it available there. All of our products are available there as well. And it's with free shipping, too. So, you don't have to worry
And the
about
snapbacks
that.
Aren't just for males. Like, I put one on. It fits me. Yeah. I mean, I don't go around wearing snapbacks every day.
You don't have a big head like I do.
Right.
So.
Like, I have a normal size head, I guess.
Small.
It doesn't look bad. So maybe I just got to put some pictures out. So don't think it's restricted to just male only. It looks good on females, too.
I do want to give a big shout out to those who have purchased the hats already. So shout out to Jesus, man, who from Detroit, Michigan, who actually asked me to give him a shout out. And he actually purchased the hat. He said that he got it faster than Amazon. Shout out to Karina as well, who purchased one of their shirts.
Yeah.
And we were able to send it out quick. So you know what, mi gente? We're sending out those shirts and those hats really quick. We want to make sure that you guys get it. And if you do have one, take a picture because we want to show the rest of the people what they're missing.
Yeah, my cousin bought one and she put it on all her kids and they all. So I think we put that picture, right?
Yeah.
We posted it. We made a little
shout
collage.
Out, Yaya. Thanks, Yaya.
Yeah, and I think another friend of mine, he wants to buy a couple, so. Yeah.
So it's definitely getting out there, so make sure. It's a limited edition. We don't have a lot in stock, so get them while you can.
Get it while it's hot.
Yeah, exactly. And also, mi gente, make sure that you like and subscribe to our channel. We're available via Audioboom. We're also available on any podcast platform that you could think of. So, for example, if you're using Apple, if you're using the Audioboom platform, or if you're using the Stitcher app, we're available in all
Stitcher
of those platforms.
Stitcher app? You know, I've never even heard of that.
It's for people that have Android, you know, so they can go in there.
We that's Android.
So,
make
sure that you like and subscribe on the podcast, and if you're on Facebook, like us on all the social media platforms. That's the little quick advertising for the day. So now that we're here, we wanted to talk a little bit more on some of the issues that are happening, but aside from that, I wanted to interview the girls, you know, because I don't think we've ever done that. Even on the first show, it was more of a group talk, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily like who you guys are. And I know people are probably wondering who the hell are these two girls, right? With buns on the cartoon. So before we go into the interview, there's a lot of stuff that's been happening this whole week. Mm-hmm. Executive orders from our new administration have caused a lot of chaos in social media. Mm-hmm. People are really, really worried. I know there's been a couple of protests, right?
Yeah. But I mean, it's sad that, unfortunately, Facebook is my news channel. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it is what it is. And, yeah, I've just seen a bunch of pictures. So many people protesting in all the airports and people being detained. And, you know, I'm not, you know, pardon me for not being well-versed in exactly what's happening and all of this, but I just know that we're at a point where we have to stop complaining and get off our ass and do something. If it bothers us, there are things that we can do, and I think we need to, it's our, like, responsibility to get up and mm-hmm. do it.
There's also a couple of things that you know, people have to realize is that you have the power to vote. So I will recommend, you know, next time in your closest elections, in your regional elections or your hometown elections, man, go out there, do some voting, because we definitely need to elect individuals that represent the people, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not well versed on what's going on. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are well versed on what's going on or are following it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring it up that there is stuff happening. And
what I do know is, like, I've been invited to this letter writing event, and basically they're trying to encourage everyone to, like I said, do what we can do, and that is to write to your representatives. Mm-hmm. And so your first step is figuring out, okay, who are your representatives? Who are the people that do speak for you? So I think that's, like, our first step. And then second step is, you know, getting our voice out and writing to them. So nice. I've been invited to something like that. I think it's something that is doable. And, you know, like I said, I think we should all, if we're bothered by it, if it's affecting us, let's figure out a way to do something.
Yep.
But
so that's one of the biggest things that's happening this week. But like I mentioned earlier, I want to really interview you guys, and I want to see, you know, I want the people to know who the hell you guys are. I know you guys on a personal level, so sometimes I don't think twice about it because I already know, you know, who Nati is and who V-Fig is. But our listeners might not, you know. And I know that Carlos and I, we were able to have our own little show where we discuss where this love and this fire for La Vela came from, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess the first things first. Who are you guys?
Like,
you
know, what's our story?
What's your story? Like, what's? Give me a quick glimpse of what. Why are you so involved with this with this brand?
Yeah. Nati, you want to go first? Or
sure. What do you want, my autobiography? So it was a cold winter day. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I guess I'll just go into my backstory, where I came from, and then how I joined LB. So I was born and raised in Chicago. My parents were born here as well. Not too far from here, Christian, Belmont Cragen. Or Hermosa. I always
Hermosa
get confused.
Park, right? Yeah.
So I lived there my whole life. Went to a Catholic school from pre-K through fifth. I have an older brother. And then I went to CPS starting in sixth grade. And then I went to CPS for high school, too. I've known V-Fig forever. Literally forever. Mm-hmm. Like, our parents were best friends. So before me and V-Fig were even thought of, we knew each other.
And where do they know? They know each other from
The neighborhood. My dad grew up in.
But they were all in softball. And,
yeah, my
and
parents grew
bowling.
Up in the Humboldt Park area, and I believe Vanessa's dad did too, okay. if yeah. I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, my dad grew up right over on like North Avenue Central Park. Yeah.
And so they played softball together. Where they know each other from, that's a good question. I don't know if it's like high school or the neighborhood.
You know, it's interesting because back in the day, like if you look at how the culture was back in the day, there was no social media. So you were hanging out outside most of the time. Mm-hmm. So you literally knew each other. And then since Puerto Ricans were discriminated against so much, you were all we had.
And they created their own brand. They're 100 proof. Yeah. Like, that's their own brand. That was,
so
like,
they,
their name
you
of
know,
their softball
it might have been
team.
A crew back in the day. Like, for example, when we had Chacha Jimenez, who was the founder of the Young Lords organization back then, it was a gang.
Mm-hmm.
They had that connection. That was the only way that they would be able to help out each other. people will do things of like, I don't know if you guys have heard this. A lot of Mexicans use it. It's called La Tanda. Tanda is like a savings account, right? So they will use that little group of people will use each other to help each other out financially. So that's, I would say, probably how they knew each other.
Yeah. I think it's neighborhood just hanging out.
Even going back to the parents. Yeah. Their own parents, you know?
Right. Who knows? So they played softball. They bowled together. And then me and V Fig entered the mix, but we started getting closer, I think, when she went to college.
Yeah. So, Nati, were your parents first generation here, or were they born in Puerto Rico?
No, my grandparents on both my mom and dad's side were born in Puerto Rico.
And they came
Don't
here.
Ask me where, but they were born in Puerto Rico. And so my grandparents speak fluent Spanish on both sides, and then my parents speak enough to get by, obviously. Yeah. They can hold a conversation, and then I speak Spanish, but you know, I took it in school, so
yeah.
And
so for you, it was the same story,
well,
kind of.
So I mean, obviously how we met and like whatever, the growing up piece. So going back to like where I was born, let or not, so I was born in Chicago, but I was raised in the suburbs, so not too far out, but like near O'Hare, whatever. But so my dad was born here, but my mom was born on the island of Puerto Rico. So, and I think, like Nathie was saying, both her grandparents on both sides, I believe they were both born in Puerto Rico too. I'm not 100% sure, but my mom was born in Puerto Rico. My dad was born and raised in Chicago. I was just born in Chicago, but I was definitely
Well, you're in
there.
The outskirts of Chicago, which is not too big of a difference, and I'm sure you probably came to the city.
Yeah, I mean, every weekend, like, we were always, like, family is a huge thing for us, so we were always, like, I feel like I grew up on North Avenue and Central Park, too, because we were always over
there. Which is Humboldt Park for those listening.
Right. So, and then, like Nathie was saying, it was probably into, like, we always saw each other, like, all the time because, our parents knew each other from, like, bowling and whatnot. So we saw each other, I would say, infrequently during the years growing up. But every time that we, you know, like they say with, like, best friends, like, every time you see each other, it's like no time has passed. But as soon as we entered college, that's when it was like, okay, now we're on our own, like going out, this and I remember how it all happened. I really do. I remember a friend of mine in college, she was like, oh, it was the day after homecoming at DePaul, and she's like, I want to go out again. I'm like, I can't do two nights in a row. Like, that wasn't me growing. I didn't go out and party, whatever. I was like, you know what, Nathie goes out. I'm like, let me call her, she'll know where to go. So I called her up. I'm like, Nathie, we want to go out. And you know, it's history from
there.
What
was it, Halloween? Was that Halloween?
No, it was in January. It was the end of January.
Where'd we go?
Radio Star?
We have to put our ratchetness off.
So, Radio Star does not exist anymore, but it's history.
They probably went
there.
To Mambo's to foam party night. But
We were just talking about
that. One of the reasons why I wanted to have the conversation is because there's always a certain pivotal point in our lives that we kind of sit back and we question who we are, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's the right word, but I remember for me, there was a part in my life. I was not, how do I explain this? Like, throughout my whole life, I wasn't who I am now. You know?
You never
there
questioned
was
a part, not being Latino, right?
There was a lot of times where I didn't understand the culture. You know, it was just something that it was tradition and we did all the time, but I didn't exactly understand it till I went to college, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I woke up. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people is they go to college and they wake up because that's exactly, you get hit. You're a minority in college a lot of times. So I was the only Latino in a class of like 40 people. I will be the only Latino. So it's like I needed to like understand who I really was in order to back up.
But let me ask you this, though. I have a question. Growing up, was the norm, like, did you know, like, in high school, like, the next step is college? Was that, like...
No. You know, I went to a predominantly urban school, you know, James Monroe Middle School, and most people there didn't even graduate. Most people there didn't even have the mentality of finishing high school.
Okay.
Because the mentality was, okay, I need to make money because my parents don't have the sufficient funds in order to take care of 4 or 5 kids. So I remember being in grammar school and thinking, damn, like, I can't wait till I'm 15 so I could get that permit so I could start working. I think it's 15 or 14. I remember even working during the 15. Summers, right, in 8th grade, working during the summer. And at least making my own money because we didn't have the ability to get an allowance, per se, from my parents.
Yeah.
I remember we will get $5 for a whole week. So I wanted to make my extra money so I could buy my own gum and my own stuff when I went
your
to
hot Cheetos. No, see, I never grew up with, yeah, with cheese. I never grew up, I was never given an allowance. Mm-hmm. However, the reason why I asked you is because this was one of those things where I was like, what do you mean? Not what do you mean you're not going to college, but like it was the norm. Like where I grew up, it was okay, you went to school, you went to high school, and whereas in the city you have to apply to a high school, that concept was so foreign to me until I started working in Chicago. I'm like, what do you mean apply?
And to me it was so shitty too, like to having to like that was so much stress as an eighth grader because I was like, fuck, I need to figure out what high school I'm gonna go to. And then on top of that, if I wanted to go to a good high school, that meant I had to take two buses.
Right, yeah.
So the high school that I went to, Lincoln Park High School, is mm-hmm. far from where I'm at. So I had to take the Cicero bus to Armitage all the way to Halsted. That's a whole hour transportation.
Yeah, same. That's why I was so confused. Like, at first, when I first started taking public transportation, seeing these kids in the bus, like, don't you have a school bus?
So,
like, that was so foreign to me.
So to put that into perspective, right, somebody like that lives in the inner city that's going to a far high school, you don't think about college because you want to get the hell out of school already.
Because you're already
tired
so
of that already.
Much.
You don't want that. You just want to make the money to be able to pay for yourself in whatever situation you're at.
And that's what I'm saying. So, like, it was the norm. I never questioned where I was going to high school because based on where you lived, borderline, you're either going to this campus or this campus. Our campus was split east and west, right? So, you depending on where you live.
Were the schools better on a specific location, or they basically taught the same way? They were equally good?
I think they were taught the same way. I think just the kids that, because, like, our sports teams were combined too. We sucked at football. I will probably say that because we never got any. We sucked. I don't care. Anyways,
so it wasn't like, okay, I need to get into East because West is horrible.
Well, because you're not applying. You're not applying for it. It's just depending on where you live. And so the funny thing was, is I technically lived closer to the East campus, but I went to West. Yeah. But I think what was drastically different was like the population of the kids and like I'm gonna just say it, like people at East, there's mostly white people there and mostly not yuppie white people, but just mostly white.
Well, is that how Franklin Park is set up? So like, is Frank like, okay, in the city, like we know up north you come from money, you know what I'm saying? Like up north is more expensive. So
I don't know.
So like, is that if Franklin Park is Franklin Park, but is it like if you live in this area is more people who
and I think
are
maybe
predominantly white, and maybe then that area or all the kids have to go to East or whatever it is.
Right. But that's what I'm saying.
I think most areas have that kind of like division because the taxes and the property value, right?
Probably.
So obviously, if you live in a certain area, there's more property value in one area.
And so the way that the line was drawn,
that means the people that are more well off are all going to live in that specific area than the
and
people that
their
are
kids
less.
Are going
to
go
because
to.
Literally across the street, they went to East.
Yeah.
And on my side, I went to West. So it was a little further.
But one thing that I kind of wanted to chime in, because I know a lot of our listeners might have gone to urban schools, they might it might resonate with them, the fact that when I was selecting high school, I had to figure out whether or not I wanted to go to this school because it was gang infested, right? Or a specific gang, Latino gang, was in that school, as opposed to this other Latino gang or this Moreno gang. And that to me is just like, it's
the fact that you have to think about
the
that.
The fact that you, as a kid, how old are you when you're in eighth grade? Like 13?
Yeah, 13, 12, 14 13. Years old.
So you're thinking the fact of, damn, now I have to take this route. I can't take this route because there's this gang, and this gang that might beat my ass when I'm going to school.
Right.
That's a lot of, especially
and then
for
you're
a guy,
leaving, I mean, at like 5, 6 in the morning when it's dark as shit outside.
Right. Or because you're in sports, you're coming back
as
home
a,
late
as
at
a
night.
As a guy, there's a lot of stress when it comes down to that. And the reason I brought it up was I was at
as a girl too, though, the, like, we have our own concerns. Like, you know, there's
the
creeps out there. You know, we have to, you know, it's just.
I remember talking to this one kid. I went to this after school program in my old school to talk about La Verdad, and this kid was like, man, I don't know, I don't really want to go to high school. I'm like, why? He's like, man, because to go to the high school, which is Kelvin Park, he's like, I have to walk through all these little neighborhoods, and I know I'm gonna get my ass beat because my brother is affiliated somehow somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, bro, like, to just that stress, to just think about going there, that sucks, man.
Sucks. So that was the first time that I was like, man, I really grew up very differently. I think that was probably the first time when I just started to work in Chicago. I'm like, what do you mean you're applying for a high school? Like, what? Everybody knew where you went. And so my school, it was pretty mixed. It was a little bit more, there was more white people, I would say, at first. But as I continued on, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior year, whatever, more and more Latinos were entering the school, or maybe I just noticed them more. I don't know. But I definitely can say there were a lot of those, you know, stereotypes come from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
That's what was in my school, you know, and I was like, I didn't, and I don't know if it was because of how I grew up, whatever, like, you know, my parents, they can speak Spanish fluently, but, like, the culture itself wasn't in my home.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I went to Humboldt Park, that's when the culture was, like, alive, yeah. But inside my house, and I don't think my parents, I don't want to bring them down.
Yeah.
It's not that they were, like, hiding it from me. It was just never really, like, brought up, and so I didn't want to associate with Latinos in my school. I'm like, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, there were select few that didn't hit that stereotype.
Unfortunately, we see that a lot, you know, because you see that specific stereotype of, oh, so-and-so is getting pregnant early and blah, blah. And
right.
I think as us, as hashtag woke Latinos or whatever, woke people, we definitely need to teach our own offspring how to value the good of our culture and not what people have made it sound.
Yeah, it was just so different. Like, and, you know, most of my friends, if not all, were white, you know? And that's why, like, and then when me and Nati started, you know, hanging out more, talking more, I definitely knew there was a difference in how we grew up. It was just so different. It never tore us apart, but, like, we definitely knew that we came from completely different backgrounds.
Did you ever
feel...
Was there ever a point in your life, and you could be quite honest on that you felt ashamed of being Latina?
No. Ashamed? Nope. No.
Because I've seen that. You know, I've seen that where people are like, you know, they'll say, well, my name is Vanessa, not Vanessa, or my name is, you know, they might change to, like, Rodriguez instead of Rodriguez. You know, they won't roll their R.
But I don't think that's big. I think it's just, like, maybe... How they're raised, like...
But no, but I mostly seen it, and sorry to cut you off, but I mostly seen it with people that are trying to fit in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they might, you know, you have that cara de nopal, you have that cara de jíbaro, right? You look straight up Puerto Rican, but I saw this in college a lot. This is what kind of sparked that Latino-ness in me, was that I will see them, and they'll be like, no, my name is, you know, I'm American. You will ask them, like, oh, what nationality are you? I'm American. I'm like, well, you don't look like you were born. Like, you don't look... white, you know.
Right.
I mean, it might be wrong to say, but I'm saying I will sit there and be like, I mean, what are your parents? They're American. And I'm like, well, what's your nationality? Like, where
but
do
why
people
is
come
American
from?
Equated with being white?
So
know?
they were like, oh no, well, you know, my mom came from Mexico. And then you'll meet the mom and they wouldn't know English. And it's like, bro, like, what's wrong? Like, what happened where now you feel like you cannot claim that you're Latino-ness? And then, don't get me wrong, I don't think there's personally anything wrong with that person being like that. You know, there's some people that will look down upon somebody like that, but I feel like they haven't gotten a sense of pride for their culture yet. So,
but I think that comes with society, like how they treat, like, okay, you're Mexican, oh, like you're not smart, like that might come, or, and not to say,
and
that
it's so,
but
shitty, no, for real,
if you, like, say where you're from, there's that stereotype more or less of, I have to label you this because it's where you
it's
come
from.
It's
a stigma.
It's like, think of, like, resumes. Like, right? How many times have you heard, like, oh, your name is Bonquisha? Well, you should put Bonnie on there instead, because if they see Bonquisha, they're going to throw your shit out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just, like, that stigma. Maybe.
Yeah, I've definitely been around people that, things. Like, their, I think their name was Carlos, and they put Charlie on their application.
I mean,
yeah,
no, we have a friend, like, whose name is one thing, and he goes by another thing because industry he's in. You know what I'm saying?
I've seen that before. And I used to judge people like that a lot, and I think throughout my life that I become a little bit more mature, I tend to want to listen to why they do it, you know? And a lot of times I'm like, man, like, why are you assimilating? You know, be proud of your heritage. But a lot of times is that they don't know their heritage. They don't know their culture. So,
and
I know
think
that
was part of, like, my story too. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't assimilating on purpose or because of the way I was
just
being treated.
Exactly.
It was just, this is who was around me, you know? And so the whole point of, like, my, like, aha moment, my, you know, it wasn't until later on, but that I realized that I was never really friends with these people, and they were never really friends with me, but I never understood why or could put a word to it or name for it.
So what was the point in your life that took the whole I want to understand my culture?
Well, but I had to go back first. Like, so the thing was, is that I said all my friends were basically white, right? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, like I said, I wasn't trying to assimilate. It was just, this is who I grew up around. But what I noticed is that I don't know, maybe it was just the group of friends that I was around. They were being praised for something. They were doing really good in school. Like the adults, the teachers, they all treated them very differently. Like, man, I want to be praised like that, mm-hmm. you know? And so I started doing every club they joined, I was joining, you know, I joined the Girl Scouts, whatever. Like, I did all this stuff because I wanted to be treated like that too. And I don't know if it was because I felt this, I wasn't being treated in the same way. You know, I always knew that, yes, you're white, I'm brown, and I was like the brown little girl of the group, and I always stuck out. But I think it was like junior year of high school where I just started to realize, and not even because of my culture yet, not because I was Latina, it was I started to realize, man, I was never really friends with these girls. You know, I think it was just because we grew up together. We were always around each other. We were always in the same classes. And because we had the same, like, we were on the same intellectual level. Like, we were all in honors classes or all in AP. So, like, when you grow up, it's like this proximity thing. I think in, like, a communications class I learned this. But when you spend so much time with somebody, you develop a connection with them. And that connection was friendship. But it wasn't until, I think, junior year when I started coming more into like who I was and thinking about like my future of like, okay, where am I going to go to college and all of that? Because again, that was the norm. Like after high school, you're starting to apply for college, whatever. And I was like, man, I don't connect with these girls. That's when I started realizing, you know, I have different future plans. I have different morals. Yeah. I have different values. Even the value of family was so different. Mm. And they didn't see that value of family. So, you know, by senior year, it was basically like, that's it. I pretty much had not. I'm not gonna say I didn't have no friends, even though every single recording I'm telling people I don't have any friends, and not this my only friend. But I think it was there. Then I was like, damn, I really don't have anyone that not that doesn't support me, but I don't relate to anybody here. Yeah. You know, and because I hadn't developed any relationships with any of the Latinas, I think there was just one. Her name is Suli, and she actually ended up going to DePaul with me, and we're pretty close and whatnot. We don't see each other too often now, but I just really started to realize, like, I'm not like you. I'm really not. But I never equated that with, because I'm Latina, I'm not like you. But it wasn't until college that I think that came out.
Okay, so then the point of understanding what you guys do, where did that start? Like, because there's always a reason.
My pivotal moment was junior of high school. Yeah. But finally putting a name to that and like seeing it and like understanding it was college.
Because there's always a point. For example, maybe you're explaining that you didn't feel like you were a part of that group. Mm-hmm. For me, it was the opposite. It was the whole of I want to be able to debate somebody and know where I came from, you know, to be able to back it up, you know, because you might ask somebody might ask you, oh, why you guys eat pastele for Christmas? Yeah. Or why you guys do parranda? At the moment, I was like, I know we do, but I don't know exactly. And I credit that to my dad a lot, because my dad's the type that wants to know everything behind the meaning of everything.
Right.
So what was the point that you felt, not just that you weren't part of that group, but now you have to understand why you guys do the things that you do in your family?
I think
where did the pride come
from? Yeah, and I can definitely hit that moment for you. It was basically, so part of being a freshman at DePaul, you had to do, you had to take one of these classes. It was called like Explore Chicago or Discover Chicago. It was like these two brackets. And within those brackets, there's like 60 or 70, whatever, like a million different options of
it's like
a
an
class.
Extra course.
Right. It's like an elective, basically. It's like, okay, here's 300 options. Pick one, right? You're a freshman. You have to take one of these classes. So I'm looking down the list for like something that popped, and they had, I mean, like anything you could think of. It was like there was a Chicago Cubs class. Mm-hmm. There was like architecture in Chicago. It has something to do with Chicago because that was their whole point of getting you out there, exposing you to the city. And so there was one class that said Puerto Rican Chicago. And I'm like, huh, like when am I ever going to be taught about Puerto Rico? Because I sure as hell wasn't taught about it in high school, grammar school, whatever. I'm like, shit, I'm paying for this, so might as well. I took the class. I couldn't have a more Puerto Rican woman of a, you know, professor. She's very, you know, she like head on Puerto Rican strong, like your typical Puerto Rican, super proud, super loud. That was her. And I think just her energy is where that, like, contagious pride. Yeah, I was like, man, I'm like, I didn't know this shit. I didn't know why there is three red lines on our flag. I didn't know anything. And so when I started learning about it, and I'm like, oh, that's what that mural is on Humboldt Park on Division and whatever, I was like, oh, okay. So it was like this enlightening moment. I'm like, man, this is me. This is where I'm from. And I guess I kind of gotten mad at my parents for not teaching me about it. Yeah. And when I started talking more and more about it, and I was doing service in the community, my dad was like, oh, what are you doing? You know, because he grew up, he lived the dangerous part of it. And that's why he moved us out.
Yeah, so a lot of times, too, when I talk to people that used to live in the city during that time, you talk to some people, like, for example, I knew this one person who was always identified as being white and Jewish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they started doing some background searching and all that, and they figured out that the grandma was born in Puerto Rico, but will lie to everybody and say that she was born in the U.S.
Even
changed her name to just Mary instead of Maria, you know?
Oh,
like,
you
looked at the birth certificate.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I put two and two together. It was during the time that Puerto Ricans were being persecuted a lot. You know, mm-hmm. if you were a Latino in the Chicago area during the 30s and 40s, mm-hmm. you were actually being deported to Mexico without they even knowing where you're from.
Mexican, right.
My grandfather was one of those. My grandfather, from my dad's side, mm-hmm. he mentioned that he was deported. They were going to deport him. They were going to send him to Mexico. He's like, well, you got to give me a ticket back because I'm not from Mexico. I'm from from Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. colony, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I use that word on purpose. So you have that feeling. So imagine that you live in a society where people are always treating you like shit, mm-hmm. you know, because of you're Puerto Rican. So unfortunately, a lot of them have to kind of like want to forget that past. And then now they just want to live the normal, like, quote unquote, American dream.
Yeah.
But I guess the biggest difference there to me is I want to know why, you know, like, I want to understand who I am.
Yeah. So, and that's what it was. Like I said, I got mad at my parents for not like speaking Spanish in the home. And there's a whole other story for that. But it's like, I know they were doing it out of the goodness of their heart. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad didn't want me growing up in that or being exposed to that by any means because of whatever experiences that he had, I'm sure. And so he got scared for me, right? Like, I'm going out to Humboldt Park where he was from, and I'm like, oh my God, this is so interesting. This is so cool. And then here's a little suburban girl being super naive mm-hmm. to Chicago, which I probably was to, you know, and I still am to a certain degree because I didn't grow up in there. Yeah. But that's where, like, this passion came from. And, you know, I switched majors because of it. You know, I went in declared biology major. I was going to be a cardiologist and make six figures. And I was like, this is not for me. And I realized, like, if I'm the one paying for this education right now, like, I had to pay all these loans back, I'm going to study what
I want. Yeah.
Exactly. So and I chose Latin American Latino
and
studies.
I think that's a great story, you know, especially from somebody from the outside looking in, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, you basically saw the community that was inside, and you wanted to know exactly why they acted that way.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have Nati, who Nati grew up in the same community I did, you know, mm-hmm. and we probably had the same type of encounters, but we were around Latinos.
Yeah, it was normal.
Normal, like, you know, somebody
talk about pateles and the music around the holidays. Like, I thought everyone does that.
Yeah,
you go to someone else's house who doesn't, and you're like,
people don't celebrate Three Kings Day.
Right? You know, like, what?
Why is there no music?
Where's the rice? Like, or, that's always my question.
Or why doesn't it smell like chuleta frita?
Yeah,
you know, how come your clothes don't smell like chuleta frita?
Yeah,
you know?
Like, that was so normal to me. But I think for me, a big point, like, high school, I knew plenty of Latinos, Latinas, and whatever. It was never an issue. When I got to college, I think, like you guys were saying, it was when it was like, man, I'm a minority right now. I'm not mm-hmm. used to that feeling. And I don't even know. Maybe in high school it did start because I went to the Puerto Rican parade a lot. And the pride just within that parade is so amazing. And I'm just like, man, they're so prideful. But I didn't understand where that pride came from.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to college, being the minority, and just people asking, like, do you speak Spanish? And I'm like, no. Like, why, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, like, where are your parents from? And I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. it's a sense of embarrassment. Like, this is who I am.
Definitely.
So you gotta, like, learn.
Yeah, this is who I am, and I don't have an answer for mm-hmm. you or for these things that I should.
Yeah.
And now I have a son who's half Puerto Rican, and I'm supposed to teach him where he's from and, you know, why we come, why be so happy of where we come from. And mm-hmm. I can't do that right mm-hmm. now. So, like, joining this team and just all that, it gives me a reason to want to learn. It's just important to know where you come from.
And I applaud it because it's I think a lot of times we just go with the whole, like, my parents are Puerto Rican, mm-hmm. but we don't understand why we put the flag on everything. Yeah. Why, you know, who is Albizu Campos? Yeah. Why Puerto Rico is in its own country? Like, we mm-hmm. just automatically assume. Yeah. And a lot of times we just kind of go with the flow and never really understand who we truly are. Mm-hmm. And I think in life, personally, right. you need to know who your background is to understand who you really are exactly. and what you're right. doing.
And I can relate to that embarrassment thing, because, like, even in that class in college, like, we had, because, you know, there were some, like, straight up white people that were like, I want to do this class. I want to learn about Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And, like, I applaud them, too, because then we did this one. It was one day mm-hmm. we were like,
I'm from there and I don't even know anything about it.
Yeah, and that was the embarrassing piece, especially, yeah. like, you know, I minored in Spanish because I wanted to continue learning Spanish, but, like, man, learning Spanish in school, no matter if it's college, high school, is shit. Yeah. The best way to learn it is you grow up speaking it, you get yeah. thrown into it, and that's all you can do. That's the
and
best
you
way to
no
learn it.
No other choice but to learn it.
But it was so embarrassing, you know. There was, like, white people that spoke so much more fluently, and, like, they didn't even sound white. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean when I say when yeah. you sound white, you know? I'm like, man, that's embarrassing.
Even
you know?
As an
like,
adult, it's so yes. frustrating. You know, like, at work, people are like, you speak Spanish? I'm like, no. And they're like, what the hell, like, you're not even Puerto Rican. Like, dude, don't tell. That's probably right. my biggest frustrating thing that people yeah. tell me, like, you're not Latina enough, or and, you're not Puerto Rican. Like,
and I'll be honest with you, during, so I feel like everybody goes through this time lapse of you don't understand your culture, then you read that first book or you go to that first class, and mm-hmm. now you think you're super Puerto Rican, right? So you go through this fanaticism, just like when somebody becomes a Christian for the first
like
time, right?
The cross.
They become born again, right? And yeah, then now yeah. they want everybody to become born again. Mm-hmm. So I went through that phase. I went through the phase of, I just found out about my culture. Mm-hmm. Now I want to make sure that everybody knows about the culture. And I would look down upon people who didn't know Spanish, mm-hmm. right? And I would look down upon people. I'll be like, going to the parade, I mean, esta gente, they don't even know what the flag stands for. Right. And it's, to this day, I sometimes get a little bit like that, but now I think I'm matured enough mm-hmm. where I want to teach that, which is why La Verdad started, mm-hmm. right? Because I understand that a lot of people don't know where to go to understand where they come from. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are just like, oh, but it's like that. It's just like that. Mm-hmm. And they, inside, in their heart, they really do want to understand. I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have this conversation, because
yeah.
there's always this one thing that happens in your life that makes you want to understand where you come from, mm-hmm. where you came from, right? So I know we're getting closer to the time here, but what do you want to do, and what do you want to teach now that you've learned a little bit more about your culture? I'll start with Nati on this one.
Oh, great. Well, I guess because I have someone to teach to, because I want Caleb to know where he comes from and be educated enough and not feel that embarrassment of what I feel mm-hmm. when people ask me certain questions. So that's my biggest drive, and just knowing where I come from. And I want to be able to, someone ask me, like, to translate something in Spanish mm-hmm. or give me a history on, you know, what the symbols mean or what's yeah. going on in Puerto Rico, and be able to answer that yeah. in, like, what's going on today in Puerto Rico.
Have you felt that you've been able to gain a lot more now that you've been part of the team?
Oh, for sure. I think whenever you talk, Christian, and I talk to your dad, like, or even your brother, yeah. like, I just learned so much. Yeah. And that's where, if I'm quiet and I'm just listening, that's where it's coming from. I'm like, damn, I don't even... Or, like, when yeah. we talked to your uncle last week or 2 weeks yeah. ago on the radio, like, it's so much education just mm-hmm. in simple conversation, and mm-hmm. so many moments since I've joined this team that I've been like, damn, I didn't know that. Like, that's dope. So.
And that's the goal. That's I think the fact that you're part of the team, you yeah. know, and you're able to give us, because a lot of times we think people know everything, right? Right. We're like, oh, they probably know what Puerto Rico stands for. But the fact that you're learning yourself, you
yeah.
bring that perspective into the team where it's like, yeah. nah, dude, I want to know what the hell it means.
Right.
So it adds that flavor into the show. But I think at the end of the day, and I think we talked about it a lot of times, is that La Verdad wants to be that. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to teach people where that came from, where that culture, that tradition, you know, why we do what we
mm-hmm.
do.
In
you know?
A comfortable
Yeah,
setting.
I definitely want to keep that, you know? That pride alive. I mean, when I first started my job a couple years ago now, I came in, you know, because I didn't want to do it during work, but I came in on a Saturday, get all my desk set up, and the first thing I put up was the flag mm-hmm. on my cube. Like, as dramatic as it is, I don't care. I really wanted people to know that you've got a Latina in here, but you don't just have any Latina. You have a Puerto Rican in here. Mm-hmm. And I wanted that to be known. And so that, you know, that flag is up. And I think like I said, I want, like, where, what do I want to do? What do I want to keep doing? I don't have children, but of course, definitely when that time comes, I want them to share in that pride. Mm-hmm. I want them to be super prideful, whether or not they take some time to learn things, whatever. Yeah, it's going to take time, but I want them to share that sense of pride. And I also want to be at a point, like, I remember telling my mom, I'm like, I want to have that house where, like, Saturday morning I'm vacuuming and I have the salsa music going, mm-hmm. and my kids are, like, annoyed that it's, like, 7 o'clock in the morning and yeah. mom's vacuuming. And, you know, I wanted that. And the more I can learn Spanish, great, you know, but I would love for the father of my children, if they're fluent, dear God, yep. please speak to these kids in Spanish. I'll speak to them in English. They can yeah. learn and be bilingual, because it's just, it not only is it an advantage to them in the working world, it's just so great to be able to communicate with different people on a different level. And just to have that, like I said, that sense of pride is what I want to keep
on
going.
Let me flip this on you really quick, Christian, because I know your daughter is half. Mm-hmm. She's half Puerto Rican, and I know you know so much. Are you, like, or do you, or have you taken interest in learning her other side? Yeah. Also educate her, so she has that pride on yeah. that side as well.
One of the things that I always tell a lot of people is that not only do I try to be well-versed on the Puerto Rican culture, I try to be well-versed on the Latino as a whole, mm-hmm. because that's, you know, eventually at the end of the day, we all share the same thing, you know, as yeah. Latinos. So mm-hmm. for my daughter, I remember the other day she was talking, she's like, I don't like Mexican music. And I was like, no, like, why? Like, mm-hmm. I personally like Mexican music.
He knows like so many songs.
And it's mostly because of that, because I believe, and my belief system is that we're all one, you know, as Latinos are Pan-Americanism is a big thing. You know, it's where all Latino countries should be together. And it's mm-hmm. this thought of, we all share the same background, you know, the mm-hmm. same three fundamentals have become one, you know, where we have the African background, we have the Spaniards and the European. Mm-hmm. So we're all one in that sense. So I always teach her that. I always try to make sure that she understands. For example, she was born on Mexican Independence Day.
Nice.
And I want to make sure that like this year for Mexican Independence Day, I was honking my horn for the Mexicanos, because that's a pride.
Prideful
that
moment.
They have.
Yeah.
And then I wish Puerto Rico will have one day, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I want to teach that to my daughter. And every time she says her birthday, I'm like, you know, that's Mexican Independence Day, because yeah. I want her to be proud of that.
Yeah.
So I'm pushing that she understands her culture, mm-hmm. you know, especially that she comes from the Mexican culture and the Latino, the Puerto Rican culture. For example, I could sit there and I could tell you, I could sing you a whole corrido, you know, from Mexican culture.
Saying. You'd be like,
I understand what pozole menudo is, you know what I'm saying? Not just sancocho and mondongo, you know.
Yeah. But, I feel the same way, because Caleb's half too, and his other half, he's half mm-hmm. African American, so it's not necessarily the Latino, but they have just as an important and, you know, history mm-hmm. as we do. And I mm-hmm. think it's very important for him to learn that as both, well. Yeah. So it's like, I have to educate myself and make sure that I'm spreading both sides to him, because that's who he is.
Mm-hmm. Equally.
And he needs to be prideful of both sides just yep. as much.
And I think at the end of the day, the reason why this conversation is so relevant to what we do is because we can't just sit there and take in everything as, oh, it's the way it is. It is what right. it is. That's the worst word I like to hear. It is what it is. No. Mm-hmm. Why is it? Why that is way. It what mm-hmm. it is now? Right. So I think to end this conversation on a positive note, I want to encourage all of our verdaderos out there to look at who you guys are, your culture, your tradition, and why is it that you can do what you do. Mm-hmm. Don't just take it and say, oh, you know what, we've always done it this way, so we're going to do it. No, mm-hmm. there must have been a reason why you do what you do. So mm-hmm. I think it was a good conversation in order to get some more insight on what you guys, why you guys are where you're at now. Yeah. So
yes.
Mi gente, once again, make sure that you follow us on social media. Anywhere online, we're available through the handle of La Verdad LTD or at La Verdad LTD. We're also on our website. If you want to have more conversation or you want to talk a little bit more, hit us up on our email, info@laverdadltd.com, and Nati will respond back to you.
Within 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, and make sure you buy the snapback.
Yep.
Definitely purchase that or a t-shirt.
It's available. So thank you, girls, for taking the time. Now we got to do some meeting stuff. So mi gente, also, I got to give a shout out to April, our intern, who's here.
Shout out, April.
On a
can
Sunday,
we
every Sunday. Yeah, so thank you for joining us again. So we'll have video and pictures out. If you're wondering who April is, we'll put it out there.
And if you need a photographer, yeah, let
hit her
us
up
know.
On
we'll
April Alonso
you.
Photography.
Yeah, apparently it's wedding season, so yeah. April, hit her up.
So AprilAlonsoPhotography.com, right? Yep, so you can hit her up, or on Instagram, you'll find it tagged to all of our pictures. So,
and I'll put the word out. She's dope. She'd be bringing some supplies in here that I'm like, damn, April, you're super official. Yeah. So she's got our stamp of approval.
Exactly. Bueno, mi gente, thank you once again, and keep listening to all of our shows. God bless.